So, well, yes, maybe people had the right intuition, because this is talk about classical physics, nothing quantum in it. And there's some fundamental reason why this is classical, because some fundamental concepts are difficult to lay down in quantum setting. So the talk is built of three main parts. The first part, I will define what's the rare event, and the definition is based upon the fundamental concept of optimal fluctuation path. Then I will proceed to talking about controlling rare event, and finish with some explicit computation, which we were able to do, imposing additional constraints on the control field. So assume we have this optimal control problem. This is our control field, and this is the cost function, which depends on the field only. And we are asking for the optimal control field, which takes our system in some initial state at initial time and brings to final state at final time. And having solved this problem, we are able to answer the following question. Assume that upon exponentiation, this cost functional with some a positive finite number, this guy can be normalized with an appropriate measure in the functional space. Then we can interpret this exponent as a probability functional of noise U. And this dynamics becomes a stochastic dynamics driven by the noise with the corresponding probability functional. And then the optimal control becomes the realization of the noise, which brings the system from initial state to the final state, and which has the maximal probability. So this is the most probable realization of this noise, and this is the path which has the highest probability, and this will be called the optimal fluctuation path. Now, what is the physical meaning of this optimal fluctuation path? Of course, there are many paths which bring our system from initial state to the final state. Now, if this omega becomes a very large number, by construction, it is some sort of a measure of the noise strength. So when the noise becomes weak, then the main contribution to the probability to get from here to there comes from the path having the maximal contribution. It could be shown that the contributions of other trajectories decrease exponentially with this large number. So being able to compute this optimal realization of the noise, we essentially are able to compute the probability of the state driven by the random noise to get from here to there.
What is this?
S is our cost functional. I started from defining just an arbitrary cost functional. The only condition is the thing can be realized.
So the more it's expensive, it's the probability is smaller.
Yes.
That's how it works.
Okay. If it's minimal, the probability is the highest.
Like a thermal equilibrium.
It's like, well, it's like in, say, in Arrhenius' law, this activation barrier. Okay. You can think about, okay, noise is the temperature, that, and this will be the energy of activation if you compute it along the reaction path.
So are you interested in solving stochastic problems, or interested in solving...
I'm interested in solving a stochastic problem, and first of all, interested to show that the problem of computing probabilities of rare events can be formulated as an optimal control problem. Seems to be of interest. And these optimal trajectories, yes?
You said S of U is a functional.
S of U, yes.
So it's, I thought of it as a path integral sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
so it's not an activation energy.
Well, this is the activation. If you compute the functional for particular realization, it becomes a number. This is the optimal realization. This is not the function. It's no longer. This is a value of the functional upon the
at the
optimal part. Yes. And this, okay.
But U is in U star is a complete path.
U star is the path, is the optimal noise realization bringing the system from here to there.
It's not the activation energy analogy, it's the Boltzmann distribution analogy.
Well, if you think about, say, bistable system, which one of the difference of the temperature can skip from here to there. So this, you can think about this thing as, so the activation energy will be essentially here, and this will be inverse of the temperature, something like that. So the optimal fluctuation path is the following. Given that the system was here and I measure it over there, I ask, what is the most probable path that the system has followed on the way to this sense? It's a question about the conditioned probability, conditioned upon measuring the system in some improbable path, in some improbable state. And this is the experimental, essentially measuring of the whole tube of paths. This is optimal path leading from one quasi-stationary state of the nanomechanical oscillator to another quasi-stationary state, and this ridge corresponds to the optimal trajectory. But we can see that there is also contribution from the nearby trajectories, and this is the system which was measured here is a parametrically driven nanomechanical oscillators which has two stable states, one in phase, one in antiphase with a driving force, and if you add a little bit noise in the system, then the oscillator can skip from one quasi-stable equilibrium to another, and this experiment was used to measure this tube of optimal trajectories given from here to there. The optimal trajectory essentially is the most probable one, but there's always a finite width, and the width is scales like 1 over the strength of the noise. So in the limit when the noise becomes very, very weak, okay, this becomes essentially a delta-like trajectory moving from here to there.
You just said that the noise is driving this transition, but you also have the control, so...
No.
The noise is the control.
Just a second. It's fake control. Just a second. We are not yet there. Okay, so, this control, okay, we start from the problem control, and then we can interpret the solution as solution of some stochastic dynamics driven by the noise. It's an interpretation. If you like, you can interpret the problem of finding the most probable path of the system as a problem in optimal control. And then the noise will be the control, our control. Interpretation. You can forget about, I don't know, what part of this thing, but so far, we have the only control field, and this is the noise. We are not controlling it. The nature is controlling it, okay? The nature is optimizing the probability to find the system over there,
now,
not
why
us.
Why do you give it width? I mean, it's one path.
I don't give it.
It's not the defined path.
Yes, but there is, of course, other trajectories which contribute to the probability to measure. Yes, but this is the tube of trajectories, and they are picked about the optimal trajectory, provided this guy here is very large. This is what you see here. You can, okay, this thing decreases exponentially with this thing. It's a sort of a steepest descent approximation to the path integral. You know, you get the exponential large contribution to the probability. So to the logarithmic accuracy, you have the probability to get the system.
So are you saying that there is a variational formulation behind it?
Yes.
And then you have like a stationary phase kind of approximation.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe imagine
and the variational equation of the motion are the optimal control equation of the motion.
So you call it nudged elastic band in molecular dynamics. Nudged elastic band.
Ooh, okay.
Where in chemistry, they take the two states, connect them roughly, and then iterate the trajectory until it falls down.
Yeah. What if you have principle? If U becomes the noise, then what is this?
If I what?
If U in the end will be the noise.
No. Noise is this is the noise.
Yeah. But
noise is here.
But what is omega?
Well, omega is a strength. I will consider some example explicitly. It is a measure of the strength of the noise. For example, well, it can be temperature, it's 1 over temperature, or it can be a size of the system if the source of randomness is a fluctuation due to the finite size of the system. So in that sense, this will be the number of particles in the system. It's some measure, it depends on the model, but it is a big number so far. We will see some particular example of them too. And
in this unclear way, you don't just throw it in with S.
If
why you don't just include omega in as part of S. But maybe it'll be helpful.
Well, it's like, I don't know, if you calculate this integral with some. Complete analogy, I calculate some steepest descent, this integral when n becomes large. You write, you calculate. This is what you do. This is the exponentially, well, this is the only large guy in the problem. So if you want to know, to find all the exponential large contribution, you must find the local minima of this thing, and then you have it as it. I can put it in. It won't change anything. I just want to separate and show that it is big. Okay. So and this is some particular example. Let's take a Langevin equation. This is the delta correlated Gaussian noise. This is the corresponding and functional. In that case, the omega becomes 1 over the diffusion constant, 1 over the second moment of the noise. So we minimize the section subjected to the constraint that our system moves along this trajectory. And these are the called costates in essentially this is the conjugate variable to the variables of the system, and we get this Hamiltonian equation of motions, and this is the Hamiltonian. And if I compute the exponent on the optimal path, which is the Hamiltonian, the true Hamiltonian trajectory, here I will get here a number which is the classical action computed with this Lagrangian from the initial state to the final state.
I'm pretty confused here. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't your Hamiltonian have u squared instead of lambda squared?
Where's u? There's no u in Hamiltonian.
Yeah,
it's lambda.
But there should be.
No.
Yes.
Just a second. Well, you can see, well, this is a functional that depends on u, on the Lagrange this should be lambda, this Lagrange multiplier and x. When you perform variation with respect to the noise, you get this equation. So, well, all right, you can put u here.
This p again is a lambda? Left?
This is lambda, I apologize. Well, it's,
okay.
Okay, this is, sorry, okay, this lambda, is lambda, lambda, yes. For the Gaussian noise, well.
All right, you get that from just deriving.
Okay, sorry, well, because I think it's in terms of momentum, of course, and okay, so this should be lambda, this should be lambda. And for the Gaussian noise, this is the Hamiltonian you get.
How do you get lambda equals u?
Perform the variation with respect to u of this thing here, we'll have lambda equals u. Yes, this is linear in u.
Yes.
Your cost function here is the integral of u squared?
Yes. This is the what defines the probability. But I have a constraint that the system moves on the...
that u squared should be d not exactly.
No, d is over here. Okay, if this is 1 over d. I'm looking for minimum of this thing, and this is the constraint. I can rescale, put, doesn't matter.
Okay.
And, all right. And if you think about this conjugate...
In a way, you want the minimum energy noise right? Because you want to minimize the energy of the noise.
No, not the minimal energy. I want the highest probability noise, which brings it from here to there.
Of course, but if you say that the noise is too small, I mean, this is what I see here.
The noise is small. That means that this, if the noise is small, that means the trajectory that I want the system to follow is very, very improbable.
Yeah.
But if I have already measured it being here, I can ask the question of condition on measuring it in the final point. What is the probability that it moves in this trajectory or another trajectory? And the highest probability is obtained for the Hamiltonian trajectory. If I look on the trajectory of x and x dot, true trajectory, this is the most probable one. Yes?
And where is this term for probability comes from?
Oh well, this is for the white Gaussian noise. This is the probability function. You can look it up in Feynman Ives. I can derive this guy from here.
But this is a consequence of your equation of motion. And
this is has nothing to do with my equation of motion. This is a consequence of the statistical properties of the noise. This follows from here.
Influences the state.
Yes, it does.
From the equation of motion.
No. Yes, but I have noise. My noise can influence anything I like. Okay, and its statistical properties are fully described at its probability function. And then I attach this noise. This noise is not influenced by the dynamics of the system. It's a classical field. Yes.
But the form for the probability.
This thing.
Yes.
I can derive it from here. Can derive from here.
No matter what.
No matter nothing.
Dynamics.
Absolutely no. If you say that your noise is Gaussian, this is only the second moment. You say, okay, the average vanishes. This is the second moment, and the other momentum are built up like in the...
Why isn't it important how the noise couples to your system?
It is important, but this is the probability of the noise realization, which is given. It's external to my dynamics. I put my Brownian particle in water, and what happens, and the statistics of the kicks is independent on the state of the particle. This is the assumption. Of course, you can think about a different equation of motion with these guys also. Okay, this is an external noise.
It's a realization of Gaussian noise, and then it's almost like a path integral formulation.
It is. It is, and we are interested in the steepest descent. Okay.
In certain sense, I mean, the equation of motion is telling how the noise is coupled to the system. It's just basically, it's not. There's no x dependence. There's no. It's just a Gaussian white random noise.
And the probability of realization of trajectories are, like Feynman put it, one noise trajectory, one system trajectory. It's the same to the exponent, to the logarithmic accuracy, it will be the same probability together.
So why do you have the bottom line there?
The bottom line is the number.
Yeah.
This number is computed with the Lagrangian corresponding to this Hamiltonian dynamics along the true path. The two Hamiltonians is the path which is driven by this Hamiltonian.
So
this is
nice
U star means the optimal realization.
Yeah, then why not X star? X star.
Well, X star, this will be a different function, but it's okay. You're right. Okay. This okay as well. The same, yes.
Yes.
Just
trying to understand which
one. Okay.
What are you optimizing?
I'm maximizing the probability of the event.
But what are you changing? What is the parameter you are optimizing?
Parameter is the noise in the system. It's not me who is playing. This is the nature, if you would like. Okay, which playing?
Nature is the controller.
And since I always measure what's most probable, it's as if nature tries to optimize, to maximize the probability.
But you already assume noise is right,
optimized. I assume what?
Yeah.
Yeah, we assume that all the statistical properties are captured by the sample building moment.
Well, this is the Gaussian, yes, this is the Gaussian white noise.
In principle, you could put in colored noise.
Of course.
You could just get more complicated.
Colored noise, it becomes much more complicated because they become non-local and the yeah. tuning will depend on the but for the delta correlated noise, it has essentially the same structure.
Sure, this could be hugely useful in chemistry in transition state theory. Do you think they worked out anything along those lines?
Well, it started with the first to use these forms was Cramer's, who computed it, the activated escape, and I think in chemistry, in chemical setting. And
what more can you
it's
get?
Not my formalism. Hmm?
So what more can you get?
Okay, what can I can compute? Well, everything is done by but some things are left. Okay, so now I want to talk about the I have said nothing about boundary conditions. So this is a cartoon of a typical setting in which this calculation becomes useful in non-equilibrium statistical physics. Okay, this is, you can think about, okay, let's think about the particle in some double well, which is driven by the noise. This is conceptually the simplest picture. So let's assume, I'm asking the following. Let at some long ago past, the system reside in equilibrium. There is another equilibrium, and they are quasi-equilibrium, because there is small probability that the noise will take the system and bring it over the barrier and put it in the other equilibrium. Okay, it can jump over the barrier. So I'm asking, and I know if I get into the vicinity of the saddle point, then the probability to get into the other barrier is essentially of the order of unity. And the rate of the probability flow here is defined to the logarithmic accuracy by the probability of the system to get here. So what I will ask, what is the most probable path of the system the system has followed being measured at in the past in the quasi-equilibrium to be measured in the future in, say, the saddle point. And this quasi-fixed point in the mean field dynamics, that's in dynamics which neglects fluctuation, are two fixed points of the mean. If I neglect the fluctuation, the system put here will reside here forever. Put in the saddle point, we will reside here forever, though this is unstable equilibrium, this is stable one.
Given by eigenvector follow to get that path you just
how to compute it?
Yeah.
I don't know what's eigenvector following, but
just keep start at the saddle, calculate the eigenvector.
Yeah, well, but this is
it.
Well, no, it depends. This is not. This is the most probable. The most probable noise realization doesn't necessarily. It depends on the functional of the probability of the noise. This is not that you are following the most steepest gradient of the.
Is the maximum probability path the minimal energy path?
Yeah.
Well, in cases where our functional is the energy. Then yes. Then you must compute the path that minimizes the integral in this energy landscape. Yes, but it can be entropic better potential, for example, for systems where the fluctuation come from the finiteness of the size. This is nothing to. This is not an energetic barrier. So this is, please consider this as a cartoon. The main point here is that I will focus on trajectories which start from the minus infinity and in plus infinity, start from the fixed point of mean field dynamics, which is quasi-stationary, and end up here. If I'm able to compute this probability, the meaning of this probability is the probability to find the system here after it had been placed in the quasi-station distribution. In fact, this number allows me to compute the quasi-stationary probability, because I can ask the same question for any point here. And then the maximum probability to get there from the quasi-stationary state means essentially the probability to measure. What's this? Bonjour. So the typical problem, like in the problem of a non-mechanical oscillator that I talked about, was to compute the probability flow from one stationary state to another. Or in the setting of the populational dynamics, people often ask the question, there's a big different setting. There is some absorbing state on the boundary of the configuration state. When I get here, I can't move anywhere else. For example, it can be the extinction of a species. And this, so this name is borrowed from the context of population dynamics. And when some species is extinct, it cannot reappear. So in some typical, in most of the time, with the highest probability, you measure the system here, but you would like to know the probability flow to extinction. And in chemical context, it may be a system described by the autocatalytic reactions, when there is a small probability that the catalyst, the last molecule of the catalyst will disappear, and then the reaction essentially will stop because it can't reappear. So, yeah.
Why do you choose in the switching case to put your end point in the middle and not in the
end? Yeah, well, this is just because, okay, because the system, actually, if I get it here, I get to the exponential accuracy, I get my probability.
Yes, but then you have to choose the middle there, and maybe it's, it would have a better path going a little bit higher.
No. This is, well, this point is the most probable part, way from here to there. From here to there. This is not an average. This is a settle point. This is, has the highest probability on the way. It's the steepest descent to get from here to there. This is, and this point is.
In this specific case, it looks like that. But there might be other cases where the saddle point is in a way guarded around, so it's hard to get to.
Well, it's hard to get. I mean, probability is zero. Then I'm asking for another point where the probability is maximum.
Is there any reason not to put it on just the other minimum? If you're looking to switching anyway, just saying the endpoint is the other well.
You don't mean it, because the probability to get from here to there is of order of unity.
Yes, but why?
You don't need. You don't care for this. You can. You can. This will be. You have the probability, which is the product of the part which is hard to calculate with the part which I know the answer from the very beginning, which is unity. So it's the same problem.
You know the exact shape of your canvas, then yes, but.
Well, if I don't know what happens there, here, I can compute
the computer from
there.
Or that you can do. Yes, but if you know that it's the exact shape, if you know.
If I don't, I can.
The probability, yes, and you know that the probability to get there is the highest probability
but
you're
this
going
is the
to get.
The input to his model, the astronomical equation of motion, and assume that.
Okay, that's better. I just want to know if you can get there.
The probability is not unity, it's a half. You have to get there with.
Well, yeah, it's an order. I'm talking, everything I'm talking about is in logarithmic accuracy. Okay, I neglect.
Logarithm calculus.
Yeah. Wow. Now, let's see the movie. This is the movie about some problem in population dynamics. It's essentially epidemiology, where our configuration space is space of people who are susceptible to infections and those who are infected. Susceptible means that they are not yet ill, and infected they can.
This is swine flu.
This is swine flu, and this is the reason a U.S. Navy pays for it, for this work. This is the army, what you read there in the army, in the grant.
Really?
Yes, they pay for it, yeah. So the large guy here, the large is, omega here is the size of the population. Okay, the larger population, the more negligible are fluctuations. In the sense, the noise is, the more deterministic is the problem. So now what happens here, most of the time the system is found in so-called endemic state of the disease. But occasionally a large fluctuation can bring it to the state where the number of infected is zero, vanishes. So, and then the disease cannot reappear again. So we would like to be able to compute the probability flow of the distribution to the state, to the extinction state. And if it works, we'll see the movie.
What is susceptible again?
Susceptible is a person who can get infected but is feels well so far.
So he's not infected?
He's not infected, yes.
So these are just...
Okay, so...
The little fluctuations here are just... you're not controlling them in any way.
No, there's no external noise. There's internal noise, essentially. So you see that hardly anything on the short time scales almost nothing happens to the probability. It's quasi-stationary distribution, but there is a constant in the quasi-stationary distribution. There is constant flow to the extinction, and we see that the probability accumulates here. So in the infinite time, we'll get all the probability here. But what's important that in the beginning, that's on the time scales which are of the order of relaxation time of the system, but much, much shorter than the time scale, than the exponential large time scale of the extinction, nothing happens to probability. I want to calculate this flow. To be able to compute this probability flow to the logarithmic accuracy, we need to compute the probability of the most to the optimal fluctuation path from the quasi-stationary distribution to the extinction. So this is the intermediate summary. What I wanted to show that the problem of finding the probability of rare events and rare event is the optimal fluctuation. This is the definition for the rest of the talk. Optimal fluctuation to get from here to there, to the target state. It can be formulated as a problem in control theory, where the control field is the noise, and the cost functional is the probability functional of the noise. So, okay. And now about controlling the rare event. Now we have two control fields. This is the noise, which is controlled by the nature. And this is the control field, which we can put in. And the question is how to exert this control field in order to optimize the probability of the system to get from here to there. So the cost functional, well, this is typically the setup of the problem. This is what I will solve in the rest of my talk. And so this is the same, the cost functional is the same. This is the probability of the rare event.
So the control field is free.
The control field is free in what sense?
This doesn't cost.
Well, yeah, but I'm conditioned to move on this surface. So it enters through the constraints on the...
Yeah, but doesn't appear in S. S is not the function of itself.
Yes, well, it doesn't appear. We can add, of course, and we shall add more constraints on the field, but to make it...
Map constraints cost.
Constraints on this thing?
Map constraints cost.
Yeah, so what...
That's what you should add. The army has infinite resources.
No. I'm only looking on the probability. I want to apply the control field to maximize the probability of to get from here to there, or to minimize the probability to get from. This is my objective.
So in effect, you now becomes one of your state variables, sort of, and you only get the cost feedback to how you're controlling by how you react. Is that true?
Well, there's no feedback. Well, I'm not solving the feedback problem, but.
No, I mean, how you're doing is, as you're trying to control something, you get feedback by the value of the objective. Right?
Yes, well, the probability.
Keep going.
Okay.
Ignore me.
So the important point, and if there is one message that I want you to remember from my talk, this is the message that control of the rare events requires two optimization. One is minimization for any given external control. The probability is minimized with respect to the noise. I always measure the most probable outcome for any fixed control field. So always minimization with respect to the noise, and then optimization with respect to the control field. Sometimes I will want to maximize the probability, sometimes to suppress the probability of
But you want to optimize the minimum probability with respect to maximize or minimize the minimum.
I want to find saddle point. If you think about this cost functional as a functional of two function variables, I want to find a saddle point.
Okay, but you want
if I want to maximize the probability.
But the bottom, you mean the minimum, the maximum the path of the maximum probability.
Yeah.
The maximum probability.
This is as a function of two variables. I want to maximize with one variable for any given value of the second variable and minimize the second. I find the settle point of this function if I want to suppress the probability. If I want to maximize the probability, essentially I'm finding the minimum with respect to both the control fields. And this is the main point, and it was the idea was put in this paper of Smilansky and Likman, which I think is the main reference, and all the rest are details. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Countries is fascinating, but could you imagine phrasing stochastic resonance phenomena within this framework?
I'm not really expert in stochastic resonance phenomena.
That would be the mark will definitely know. It's a phenomenon where you have noise by stability and you drive by periodicity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there is a you can view it as an activation, but there is like a synchronization that the
bounce
induces.
Okay. Well, I will come at some point about talking of synchronization to periodic modulation, so maybe we'll.
That is the same.
Maybe in, okay. Okay, so this is the paper that I recommend on this, on the topic of control of rare events in general. So, so now we must understand the following. If I have no more constraints on the control field, then the optimal control problem is trivial. I can just tick and with probability one bring the system to their target state. I can ignore the weak noise and bring it over there. So this is not an interesting problem. You don't agree with me?
No, usually not.
So, but the noise is weak. I can insert.
Say anything about what the dynamics are. Maybe the control can only do slight tweaks, or who knows? I mean,
just a second. Well, so this will be slight. Okay, this is what I'm saying. If control is weak, strong. Okay, the strong. Okay, maybe. Let me draw a picture saying.
Light switch is my turn.
Hmm? Ah, sorry. Okay. So, well, let me. So let this be unperturbed optimal path, and what the control can do, it can change the optimal path in the system in such a way that the system, when I find it here, okay. And I want to get here, and the strong field can bring this stable or quasi-stable equilibrium somewhere here, so that on the way to falling with the probability one on this equilibrium, I will pass the target state. This is what I call deterministic control. So if we have no additional constraints on the force, it can change the optimal trajectories arbitrarily. Then it can arrange the optimal trajectory pass through the target state. And this is not interesting, first and second, there are usually more constraints on the control, of course. So the problem that we'll focus on is controlling a rare event with a weak force. And weak is exactly control which doesn't change the topography of optimal trajectories. That means the probability to get to the target state is still a rare event. And then our control field must cooperate with the fluctuation in the optimal way. And then this is an interesting problem. And this is a sequel to our movie. This is the same system. And the control in this epidemiological model is vaccination. And I want to increase the probability of extinction of the disease. This is without vaccination. This is with the vaccination. And pay attention that on the short time scales, these two guys here are not different. And that exactly means that the control is weak and essentially nothing happens to the trajectories, but the probabilities change drastically and this will be seen shortly. No, this was not the idea, just a second. Where are we? Oh. So I want to. Excuse me. Okay. Here with vaccination, we see that the probability flow to the extinction is much faster. But the quasi-equilibrium distribution doesn't change substantially, and this is the weak control.
What does vaccination do in this model? What is the effect of vaccination in this model? So mathematically, what does vaccination mean in this
case? Well, it's the control field, but I will talk about it. I will talk about it later. Okay. We're not sure how interested will the audience be about the vaccination problems. So the second intermediate summary is about control. Controlling rare events involves double optimization with respect to the noise and the control field. Second, the interesting problem is the weak control, and then we must cooperate with the fluctuation, not just to perform deterministic control. And finally, which I haven't yet shown, but I will, it demands some technical development. I will show this in a few minutes, that weak control, weak in the sense that the optimal trajectories are only slightly performed, can be very efficient, and the consequences of this control are exponentially strong in the inverse strength of the noise. So the noise is weak, the control becomes much more efficient. Any questions? Now we'll.
What does this mean in terms of the swine flu? Can you bring it to extinction?
Yes.
Yes, but.
But it takes some time because, well, in the size of population becomes well.
It's a virus disease. It's.
Well. When the size of population, well, the probability of this to happen scales exponentially with the size of population. So to be of any practical importance, the population should be close and small, like in, say, jails or in the army where the people stay in. Okay. And then it becomes, it can be done in finite time. And then we say, okay, so what happens if our vaccine is limited? What is the optimal vaccination protocol to cope with the disease? And
but the probability will still be very small.
Probability will still be very small, but after I have used the vaccination, it will be exponentially larger than without the vaccination. Exponentially in the size of the population. Still small, yes. But instead of taking 100 years, it will take 5 years.
So next to weak field, you say interesting, but I mean, for the army, presumably getting it your extinction is the interesting part, not
to extinction. Well, this is a different meaning of the word extinction.
Along the way.
Yeah, we're talking about extinction of the disease. Extinction of population is a different subject.
But eradicating virus.
Eradicating population.
Yeah, extinction of the disease. Right?
Yeah, I'm joking. Yeah. So for small communities, calculations are meaningful, but if the population is huge, then. So now I'm looking on the trajectories for the given field, which is the optimal with respect to the noise, so the most probable trajectory under our control field. So this Lagrangian corresponds to the true auxiliary Hamiltonian trajectories for the given noise. Now, not only assume that the field is small, it's so small that I can essentially compute this action to the first order, and this will be a good approximation.
So why does the action now not depend on you anymore?
Because, well, it's calculated for the, you can put here x, like somebody said here, you can as well put here x star, because it's not the functional of u, it's for the optimal realization of the noise already.
You keep u at the optimal realization.
Yes, okay. So I could have, okay, so I omitted u here.
Does the optimum value of u depend on c?
Yes, it does.
So
okay.
X star is also dependent.
Yes, it does depend, of course. Generally, it does depend, so this approximation, this is not the, equality. This is approximation. Assume that the field is so small that I can do the first order approximation in the field. And then I know, since the Hamiltonian trajectories are exactly those trajectories which minimize the unperturbed action, the only contribution linear in the field comes from a from this is a partial derivative of the Lagrangian with the field, which I calculate along the unperturbed path. This is a classical argument from the Landau-Lifshitz, which says, okay, no contribution to the action comes from a disturbing the optimal fluctuation, because the first order it vanishes by the fact that the optimal fluctuation minimizes the action. And this thing I calculate along the unperturbed path. This star means that the noise is optimal. This zero means that I neglect the influence of the control field. And I compute this thing for the vanishing field. Okay, so this contribution is linear in the field. And viewed as a function of time, this thing, I call it a logarithmic susceptibility, and it will define essentially the response of the system to the control field. Now, the important point here is that though this thing can be small as a field, since by exponentiating with a large number, omega, it becomes large. So exponentially large in that number. And then the control with the weak field becomes very, very efficient.
Well, this one is...
Well, I can compute, yes, well, this is... You can put here absolute value, yes.
Well,
it depends what are you doing. If my control field increases the probability, then I will... It's control. I can increase the probability.
Increase the probability in this case.
In what case? I will increase and decrease. I will consider two calculations. One is to increase the probability. One is to decrease. We'll find the solution in both cases. So. Here is a little bit of cheating. Why? Because there is not only one optimal trajectory leading from the initial state to the final state. Why not only one? Because if the original problem is time independent, there is a translation invariance with respect to time. Because I consider fluctuations coming from minus infinity to plus infinity, I can move them around. So, but when my control field is on, this translation invariance is broken. And which one of these trajectories shall I choose? I must perform optimization with respect to the noise. So this is this a concept of a double optimization. I must minimize, irrespective of what I want to do to have in the end of the day, maximize or minimize the probability, I must minimize this expression with respect to the choice of the optimal trajectory, because it corresponds to the minimizing with respect to the noise realization. Okay, so this is the correct expression. And minimizing it over all the reference times, I will get the true functional of the control field. After that, I will minimize or maximize it according to what I need.
So this, in a way, is your
your
optimization.
Yes. Well, it's minimization with respect to the noise. If there has been some time dependence in the original problem, then this will be superficial. But since there is a degeneracy, when I put the field and break the degeneracy, there is still some choice. And this should be minimized with respect. Also, I will measure only the most probable optimal path. Irrespective of whether I want to maximize the probability, minimize, this is another issue. I haven't yet performed any optimization with respect to the control field, but I must perform minimization with respect to the time reference. So now we are going to solve the problem how to minimize the probability of the rare event with periodic control field. So I forgot to say, I think there should be a transparency saying that the problem that we are going to solve is weak field and periodic field. And periodicity is a natural assumption since our boundary condition from minus infinity to plus infinity is not any, it doesn't impose any lack of generality, but basically my field is periodic. It always assumes the period is infinite, and then it will be any essentially arbitrary. But it helps a lot to solve. Now, so an arbitrary periodic field for the fixed period, this is in its Fourier series. And I put this Fourier series into the expression for the probability functional. I will perform the integration over time, and this will give me back the Fourier transform of the logarithmic susceptibility, which, as you remember, is a function of Unpertorbed dynamics. This is inside. And these Xi 0 and Xi n are the numbers which define the control field. Now, this thing here should be minimized over T0. Now, the first term is independent on T0. So I can always choose the Xi 0 to be of the sign of this guy here, and that will maximize the probability because I want to, I minimize this thing with respect to zero, but afterwards I want to maximize this function with respect to the control field. I want to suppress the probability, make it as small as possible. That means to maximize this thing with respect to psi. So I'm looking forward and I'm asking, okay, this guy here is not affected by minimization over T0 because there is no T0 here, okay? So I must be only concerned with maximizing this expression with respect to the control field. And then I will choose the sign of this guy, like the sign of the Fourier component of the logarithm susceptibility. This will be positive, and subject to constraints on the strength of the field, this will be some number. Now, what about this? Look, if I integrate this thing with respect to the zero, it vanishes, right? Because this exponent, I integrate over the period from zero to t. That means that I can always choose this t zero so that this sum will be negative, right? If the integral vanishes, there should be some point for which it's negative, unless it vanishes identically. Since I was, in the end of the day, maximize this thing with respect to the field, zero is the maximal possible value. But zero means that all the components of my field vanish. And I'm left with the optimal solution, which is a constant field. So the optimal solution, optimal periodic solution, but since the solution is independent on the period, it means that absolute optimum, even. Okay. So just optimal weak force suppressing the probability of a rare event is a constant field. This is a quite unexpected result. It doesn't depend not on the details of the system, not on the...
Yeah, but it means that only when you want to maximize S.
Yes, I want to minimize the probability. It's a different story.
Yes, but
okay. It was the next story. Okay, but
in the case of swine flu, you want to minimize it.
Swine flu, I want to minimize.
Okay,
in the case of bacteriological weapon, I want to maximize the probability.
Yeah, if anyone thought that the army research is the only peaceful, then
yes.
Sometimes you want to do.
I'm not sure what was the U.S. Navy interested in most. Now, okay. So now we want to solve the problem of maximizing the probability of the rare event. And I impose additional constraints. First of all, I assume that my control force is non-negative. And second, that this integral average over the period of the force is fixed.
So
now,
is the budget.
Budget?
The budget.
V is the budget, yes. Well, and the motivation, now I will explain how these constraints come into play. So it came from this problem of vaccination, but it can be generalized to in the following way. Assume that our stochastic dynamics is described by the master equation. These are the transition probabilities to get from the state x of the system to the state x plus some say r. Now assume that for some transition, the transition probability is independent on the state of the system. You can think about this as inflow rate. For example, if there is a chemical reaction in microreactor, I can put I can open the tap and put some reagents from outside, and the rate of the inflow is independent on the state of the system. In the case of population dynamics that we thought about, this is the birth rate of the population, which was assumed to be constant on the independent on the state of the system on the interesting time scale. So, and now we want to modulate this rate. So, and let's assume that we are able only to increase this rate or to decrease this rate. For example, if I stand by this tap, I can turn it or bring it back to the initial position. Typically, it will be the case where this mu is maximal possible. Then the tap is open and I can only close it a little bit. Or it is zero and essentially I'm opening up a new transition channel in my dynamics. Some new transition pathway, which is still has this form that essentially is the inflow. So I just put more reagents in my reactor. And then this should be positive because it has the dimension of the rate, it's just the rate. And the integral, average integral of it, shows the average number of transition I allow per period. So the average number of molecules which enter my microreactor in the unit of time. This guy here in the epidemiological setting was the vaccination and has the units of the number of persons vaccinated per time. So it should be non-negative and its integral, this the total number of transition is average over the period is fixed. And then, and this is the variational problem. This is the guy we saw before. It should be minimized with respect to the time. This minimization of the maximization of the probability with respect to the noise. This is the constraint.
Michel, what is this time t0?
T0, this has to do with the degeneracy of the optimal trajectories with respect to time. I choose an arbitrary reference time, but my field, external field, is fixed. So different choice of the time zero. Let this be an optimal trajectory, right? Of t. This thing here is also an optimal trajectory, but I must. But the response of the system, the probability to follow this with the control field is different from the probability to follow this without the control field for different T0. So I must maximize the probability with respect to the choice of the reference time. Because what I measure is the maximally probable realization for the given control field. So this has to do with the with choosing the right optimal trajectory for the given field.
Even if you have no control, you are assuming that the stochastic process has to be stationary.
Yes.
It will not be stationary even in that.
Yes, of course, sure. If they are not stationed, there will be some time there will be one time which it will depend. The trajectory will depend on time. The optimal trajectory will depend on time. So I assume, okay. And also, more questions? Because I think everybody is tired. So this is we'll find this is the end of the story. We'll find the optimal solution for the problem that maximizes the probability. And this is the formal statement of the problem. These are our constraints of the control field, and we perform minimization both with respect to the T0 that we'll find the optimal trajectory. And with respect to the field, because we want to minimize S and maximize the probability. So it can, and maybe some delicate point about it is this is functional from minus infinity to plus infinity, but our constraints in is given on the one period, so we wanted to put it in some edible form, and we can perform that using the, this thing here. Control field is periodic. Then I make this convolution, like I defined a new function, and these two integrals are equivalent. And then I have the problem to minimize this guy here, subject to the same constraint, can be do straightforwardly, but we just by performing variation with the constraints with a Lagrange multiplier, but we'll do it more elegantly, just noticing the following, that this integral is always a smaller, it should be, it's always just, so sorry, it's larger. We must maximize, minimize, it's minimum, it's, okay, so minimize this thing.
The f on the right is always smaller than the f on the left, so the right should be always smaller than the left.
This is larger than that, right?
Okay, mean values here.
So. Okay. Excuse me for the not remembering its minimum maximum. Anyway, I get minimum. Maybe there should be minus side here. Okay. I think that we defined this thing with the minus. That should be minus there. Doesn't matter. Okay. Anyway, the minimum of this function is obtained at some time tau. But this expression is expression that I would get if I perform the integration with the delta function centered at tau. And then I understand that the optimal should be the control field sequence of delta function. And since no optimization has yet been done with respect to T0, this choice is arbitrary. I can choose any periodic sequence of delta functions, and T0 will be chosen by finding the optimal trajectory, which has the highest probability.
So if we want to minimize, we just do a constant thing, and if we want to maximize...
No, I say that this tau can be arbitrary. I just choose a sequence, for example, I can put here any T0, it doesn't matter, okay?
Why are you doing this sequence? Why isn't
it? Well, because this is the function on the period, but we know that our function is periodic function, so just extrapolated to by adding this thing here. So this is our optimal pulse. It's a sequence of periodic delta functions, and to compute the activation barrier, we must minimize it with respect to T0. And this is the expression we get. And it can be relatively easily analyzed. Remember that period is something given. We don't optimize with respect to the period. And I will shortly show that optimization with respect to the period is an ill-defined problem in this setting. So the Fourier spectrum of the logarithmic susceptibility defines the relaxation time of the system. If the period is much smaller than the relaxation times, then this is the asymptotic expression for the decrease of the activation barrier, which is independent on the period. For periods much larger than the relaxation time, the decrease of the activation barrier becomes linear with the period. And this explains why this problem optimization with respect to period is ill-defined, because it seems as if I can always, keeping the same rate of inflow per period, I can increase the periods and then, boom, give the larger pulse and be better. But so optimization with respect to period has no solution to this problem. And in each problem, there should be some external constraint saying, okay, period cannot be that large because, for example, we can't accumulate the vaccine for a longer time, so there should be some bound.
In a way, you're saying that it's better to just give all the vaccine you can.
If you are able to accumulate your reagent or vaccine or whatever, and then put it and give your delta function be infinitely larger as you wish, then the larger period, the better. So the, okay, but it's.
So what it says, you want to vaccinate everybody the same day.
Yes, all the vaccine.
Same instant.
You should, okay, you get vaccine, you should accumulate, and then give it in. So assuming there are constraints on the period and in problem vaccination, of course there are constraints, and usually there will be some constraints on the period, which are not in the problem. There is an interesting intermediate region where the period of the control field is of the order of the relaxation timescales of the system. And then from this expression, we see that we expect resonances at the subharmonics of the frequencies of the main frequencies of the unperturbed dynamics. Suppose
you're back to NMR, you are radiating from the resonance frequencies.
Well, you should make these pulses and beat at the resonance frequencies of the dynamics, and this is optimum. And this is the application to some population dynamics where there are oscillations. That means that the spectrum of the susceptibility has a well-pronounced peak, and this is the decrease of the activation barrier for the extinction, and we see the well-pronounced peaks. That upon exponentiating with the number of species in the population, translate into a huge increase in the probability of extinction of the disease, and we have something to say to tell the doctors in the end. So, okay, let me summarize. I tried to show you that the problem of finding the probability of a rare event can be formulated as an optimal control problem. That controlling rare event is exponentially efficient in the inverse strength of the noise. That optimal weak periodic control of rare events, in a sense, model independent. It's independent on the dynamics of the system, depend only on the constraints on the control field. We found explicitly the optimal control for suppression of the rare event and for maximizing the probability.
So,
thank you very much.
So continuous limits of vaccination is the worst possible use of public money?
Continuously, I don't know about... I don't know.
Optimization for the worst possible...
Well, in a sense, yes. Well,
it's not
applicable. You're right.
No, it is minimized. Extinction rate is minimized.
Yes, yeah, it's minimized. It's not seen as minimum. Yeah.
So if you go to Africa and you vaccinate,
well, but this minimization
part of the population constantly, you're wasting your money.
Yeah.
Not wasting your money. Actually, it's actually better not to do nothing, because you minimize the probability of extinction.
Right.
It will be zero. It will have zero effect. Exactly.
But is it possible there is some effect? We know from the fact that vaccinations seem to be doing something. I mean, it may not be.
Seems to be.
Well, I mean, we're all better off now without having polio.
But we're all vaccinated.
Yeah, but this is different. This is a deterministic control.
We are not all vaccinated. We are
not
the same instance.
It's a probability.
Not at the same time.
The question is what percentage of the population have to vaccinate get rid of polio? And it's not 100% of all. And there's still people who don't vaccinate their kids and they feel very happy.
Yeah, but this was talking about small disturbances, and vaccinating 50% of the population is a very big disturbance.
It's not small, it's a different problem, right?
But is it possible that defining the target in terms of the extinction rate is, even though that's minimized, maybe something else, some other positive outcome is actually, is actually doing well with constant vaccination.
Well, yes, maybe.
It's better for vaccination than without polio, but continuous vaccination is clear is the worst.
No, it's the worst. I mean, I'm just wondering whether focusing on the extinction.
Oh yeah, well.
Which is a very particular target.
Well, there are some social concerns. If you say you want to vaccinate all the newborns, but just sometimes you will. There are obviously some cost functions that are optimized with doing it all the time. But
I'm just wondering, even though extinction seems to be in the same direction, I mean,
let's say the army is happy with having, you know, just, you know, 2% of the people infected or something like that. So, now extinction is in the right direction.
Okay.
Obviously, right? But it might be that that particular strategy that's geared specifically for extinction may not be the best strategy for to get to 2%.
I mean, this is what you're saying.
This is what in one optimal control paper that Stuart Rice wrote. He said it was called. It's a popular saying that the best can be the enemy. The best can be the enemy of the good.
Good enough.
So you say, for example, okay, this is the extinction state, and we get here, okay, this is the, say, pulse vaccination.
Right.
But if we are contented with getting somewhere in this, then quite different. For example, constant vaccination can give the higher probability to get.
Maybe. Okay. I mean, it's...
Well,
because in certain optimization processes, if you want to get exactly to a particular target, then you do that at all expense. That's the idea that the best is.
So you're asking it may be very expensive. This path may be very expensive, but you don't care. You say okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's just something to.
Okay. Interesting.
It's a strange question, just a curiosity actually. When I was in Los Alamos, several people were looking into disease spreading and they were using, I don't know if they were biologists or whatever, but they seem to make a big point about the fact that there are kind of thresholds embedded in these phenomena, so that from what I remember, if the number, the size of certain populations being, say, infected would be below threshold, then you could still contain the process, otherwise not.
Threshold, I think, it has something to do with the.
They were not using this kind of analysis.
With the mean field, because. I may be mistaken, but I think what most people do, they are considering the most probable. A behavior of the system, and for the most probable, there are some threshold theorems that I know. For example, if the rate of the vaccination of infection becomes too large, then with probability one, it goes into that way or that way. What we ask in a different question, not what is the most probable behavior of the system, but what has the most probable behavior of the system been conditional that I measure it in this particular state, and I want to. So we are actually, in this state, it's the probability to get here is very, very low. So we are investigating rare events. And they are, I don't know of any threshold theorems, but I don't know.
Just for the micro mechanical, what the first example, the resonator, mm-hmm. I'm not probably thinking that this is a good model, but in the
real,
disease spreading, I'd rather go with the worst case scenario, but I don't know.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know if it's good noise or bad noise,
but
it's probably good noise.
Cookie noise, okay. Thank you very much.